Pesach that moves into Pesach with Shabbos. Pesach with Shabbos. So what are the ramifications of Pesach being Shabbos? That the first kos doubles as a Kiddush Deraisa. So there were those who say we should have try for a little bit of a larger kos. Otherwise, you know, obviously all the halachas of Yom Tov only begin the second day. But otherwise, it doesn't have a major impact. All right, you have to do. The shayla of a person, and if a person during davening says mekadesh es haShabbos and doesn't say shrov asman, or vice versa. So the Mishnah discusses that. It's ber halacha. I think Mishnah in the end says that one is yotze, one doesn't go back and say the bracha over again. But otherwise, I'm not sure if there's a significant impact.
Is there enough gemina for shinuyim by like making the salt water?
If you make it Friday night, okay.
So
the achon is Friday night, but we usually do it before.
If Luyik say it doesn't happen that way.
Right, so it could be.
Shear for matzah?
Shear for matzah depends if you're young and strong, so you shouldn't. Should have a significant kazayis. Depends on how you're feeling. As the shear of matzah is a range, anywhere from Chaim Belozer said the palm of your hand. And that's a kazayis, and all the way to probably the larger 3/4 of a large matzah shmura. That's the range of the practicalities, right? Because of the machlekes between the Neid of Yehuda, which many Achrayim adopted, that the shiurim that are kezesim that we have nowadays are smaller than the kezesim that they were bizman gemara, right? Because of the inconsistency between the volume measurement of the mikveh and the cubic, between the linear and the cubic. There's an inconsistency in the Gemara Pesach. So the Neshu says the way that you can reconcile the inconsistency is by saying that our linear, that our Amos are half of what the Amos were. Our Kinar Kazesim are half of what Kazesim were. Our Amos stayed the same, and Kazesim were reduced. Beitza was reduced. So that means that we'd have to, when we think in terms of a kezayis now, we have to think of a double kezayis. So it was a big machlokes whether Ad HaYom HaZeh, whether Klal Yisrael was mekabel and Yehuda's Shita. So that's where there's a range. So if a person is feeling well and he's strong, so why not have it a mitzvah deraisa? The only mitzvah deraisa is a chilas matz the first night. One kezayis is a mitzvah deraisa. Chasam Sofer says it's the only mitzvah deraisa we have left, where there's a ma'isa achila. Bizman Mikdash, al korbanos, a korban chasholm, a korban chatas, that was a ma'isa achila, was a mitzvah. The only ma'isa mitzvah that we have where we have mitzvahs where we mekayim the mitzvahs for achila. Arayin Shabbos, Kavod Shabbos, Arayin Shabbos, Simchas Yom Tov. But that the Torah defined that this kezayis is a mitzvah, the only matzah. So once that's the case, if a person is feeling well and he's strong, he can tolerate, so have a large kezayis, at least the first one. The second most important kezayis is probably the afikoman. Because according to Rashbam, the afikoman is the ikur mitzvah. because Afikoman has been mekayim the Korban Pesach. And the third most important gezeirah is probably by Koirech, because they're and then there's the chumrah of having two gezeirah at the very beginning. So having two gezeirah at the very beginning, in other words, when you make the achilas matzah and the moitzi lechman aretz, so then there's a chumrah of two gezeirah then. So that's based on the Bali Tosis, who say that there should be one kezayis for the mitzvah matzah, and one kezayis for the bracha of hamotzi lechem aretz. That's a very surprising shita, because why should you have two kezayisim? You have to make a bracha chilas matzah for the ma'isim mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. You have to have, you're doing a ma'isim mitzvah that's mahana, so you have to have a birchas hanen. So why should you have to have another kezayis? So that's the that was, I think, the rush says they should have two kezayisim. Tosfos quotes Rav Yosef Tavella. He says that you have to have a second kezayis because of the birchas hanen. But the Be'er Halacha quotes the Rishonim and the Achronim and say that's a very, very difficult sheet to understand. Maisa, halacha lamasa, you could have a double, you could have in mind that you're having two little kezesim for the chumra of the rush, and one large kezesim for mitzvah deraisa. So we make it hedgy bets. If you have a large kezesim, three quarters of a matzah, but a matzah is short. So if the Neid Yehuda is right, have in mind that you're keeping that the entire kezayis is one large kezayis is for the mitzvah of chilas matzah. If the Yehuda was not correct, they have two small kezayis for the chumah of the rush. I don't think you have to do. I think it's daiti to have two very, very large kezayis for a sheep that we don't really understand. Doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me to do it that way. How do we explain Rav Yosef Tavella? So I'm not sure. There is a possibility. There was also the Neid Yehuda raised the question of whether this situation where the Maisa Achila is the mitzvah, do you make a brachas hanen in that case? The mitzvah is lavli henes nidda. So it's the only situation where this kezai is the ma'aseh mitzvah. When it comes to Onik Shabbos, the mitzvah is to have Onik Shabbos, like the Achila. Over here, it's a mitzvah to eat this matzah. So you say Birchas Hanenen when the Kezayis, every part of the Kezayis is a mitzvah. So many dismissed the Neid Yehuda and said Tana Shaila. Because in this particular case, because Baruch Hu said, the mitzvah is to be Nene from Kezayis of Masa, that's the mitzvah. Just like there's a famous Rabbeinu Avraham in Ahor that says people often think the mitzvah is all the lively hennis nitnu, so you don't have to enjoy when you learn. So when you learn, it has to be pas b'melech toichal, b'ayim m'shur etishta. That the more boring it is, the bigger the mitzvah. The more lishma it is, right? The drier it is, the more lishma. So when our Brahman says incorrect, it says mitzvah slalit, it means that I cannot, it means that they're not viewed as, that the mitzvah does not give them monetary value in and of itself. But one's allowed to enjoy mitzvahs. One can enjoy the mitzvah of matzah. One can enjoy should enjoy the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So the kasha in the Yehuda is not such a strong kasha. But here, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, he was the mitzvah to be nanim in a matzah. And have some. But the way that the Rav explained this shita of Yosef Tavella is a very beautiful mahalach. The Rav explained that whenever you make a birchas hanenin, the object on which you're making the birchas hanenin is a cheftzah shel mitzvah of giving haydah to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't say those. He says the chefs of mitzvah. He didn't add on the rest. The Rebbe used to bring several proofs to this idea. The strongest proof he used to bring was from Rabbi Tam. If a person has a bowl of apples, so you don't make a bracha on every single apple, right? You make a bracha on one apple, and then eat the rest. Rabbi Tam is the shita that if you make a bracha on the apple, and the apple drops and becomes nifsa me'achila. So most Rishonim would say, so have another apple. And Rabbi Tam says, no, you have to make a new bracha. It's a very strange shita. Once I make a burpees and I have the first apple, I can have all the other apples with the same bracha. But if I don't get to make, to eat the apple on which I made a bracha, so then I have to make a new bracha. So I've explained that the only way to explain the sheet is to say that the bracha is chal on my first, the first bite. If I don't have a first bite, the bracha is on chal. For the, when we say the bracha is chal, that means the first bite is a special status in Allah. So the Rebbe used to say that there was a connection between the bracha and the first maisa hana. Now, no, I'm chayev, it's chal on that maisa hana. There's another raya that one can bring, and that is that when you have various fruits, so you make a bracha, there's a din kedima, right? If you have a sholem or a chaticha, then you make a bracha on the sholem, right? Unless the chaticha is something which is much, much more precious. So the idea of having, what are you having a kedima for? L'chara, let's say you're going to have a rimon, and you're going to have a teina, and you're going to have a grape, and you're going to have an orange, you're going to have them all. So the din is to make a bracha on the peros shenishtav chenaris Yisrael and make the seder atzud metara. Why? Why is seder important? So again, some say that the pshat is that if the first thing you eat is a sholem or is what you like or peros shenishtav chenaris Yisrael, so then your bracha will be a more exciting bracha. The Rav explained that, you see, there was a special relation between the bracha and the very first thing you eat. So you can be mahadir in the bracha by having, by the first achilah should be more of a mahana. So, based on that, the Rav explained this, Rav Yosef Tum Elam, which is very, very popular, and that is to have one kezayas for the birchas ha-moitzi to be chalon, and one kezayas for the achilas matzah. But to have two very large kazesim, it depends how you tolerate matzah and wine on an empty stomach.
But it's kedai if you
offer
it.
To have the two kazesim.
Not the two kazesim, the other ones. So in the Afrikom, according to the Rashbam.
If it's kedai to eat in Chacham Ein HaBerosh, not to eat so much, and to have room for Afrikom, yeah. It's not always so possible. It's not always possible because sometimes the Baal HaSabai is upset if you don't eat. So it's a little bit more. But it's, I try to have kezayis for that. I have that in mind. What I do is there's an etziv that says that any achilas matzah, the first end of Pesach is a kiyum mitzvah beyond the kezayis. So the eating any time one eats matzah, it's more of a kiyum mitzvah. When we asked the Rav about the kezayisim, so the Rav said, "I really don't know what to tell you. I really don't know. I don't know how large kezayis is." And he says, "But I know that a kezayis is half of a beitzah, half of an egg." And I know the elephants don't lay eggs. That was his. But a friend of mine, I don't know who it was, a friend of mine once had He said the Rav Seder. So he asked him, "Do how much matzah did he eat?" So he said that he just kept on eating matzah. As if the whole table was might have been eating warmer matzah. That's probably because the sheet of the Nitziv. That the more matzah one eats. It can't go wrong if one eats matzah for a minute or two. And then you know, you become the thing one should eat normally and shouldn't stuff one's mouth. That couldn't be the mitzvah. I don't think one should eat with a stopwatch, because that couldn't be the mitzvah. That's not normal achila, I think, with a stopwatch. That's been a normal achila. But on the other hand, you shouldn't schmooze in the middle of achila. If you just eat, and you don't schmooze, so then there's got to be a king mitzvah. It's important to have kavanas. In other words, it's an easier time to have kavanas. Because what else are you doing? Well, it's not easy to concentrate on eating matzah. But to remind myself, lechavayni, all the different kavanas, two different kavanas when it comes to matzah. One is lechem oni, and the other is that bechipos and yotzer. Two different views in the matzah.
Just the
chazal,
the higher end goal that we should be
aiming for. High end matzahs.
What?
You have high end matzahs.
Is
there,
you said, a half of a
circle
matzah or three quarters?
I think they say three quarters. I think it's having my
that's one
a cubic inch.
What is
that?
That's
so it's a range. Because they say anywhere from the palm of one's hand up to I think three quarters. I think it's what they say. Maybe it's a half. Is it half of a?
I remember saying past half, but
half of a matzah, shmur, three quarters of a machine made matzah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's cool. Half of the matzah of the large honey matzah. Yeah, that's good.
And then going through, meaning the first time meeting matzah, it's the two kazesim, we should meeting half of mice and do. With the shiurim, and then
probably have in mind that whatever that you want to come into the raisa. So if one has a large kazayas,
and then by karav also could that be machmir? If one
depends how you feeling, yeah, depends how you feel.
And then the afikomi based on the rishon also.
Rishon is more important than karav,
right?
I think because according to Rishon, the afikomi is the ikar mitzvah. The Vikomer thing is only one kazais. There are people who have a chumrit of two kazais and by that Vikomer. Because of the zecher with Pesach and zecher Chagiga. I don't know, I mean, it was all time just one kazais. If you want to be machmir for chatzos and follow the Sachmash of a Rebbe, so that means having it a little earlier, but it's still one kazais. Yeah. Not an extra kazayas. But the Zohar Shor Rebbe says that if one comes up to Chatzos and one hasn't finished the meal yet, so one should have the afikomen al tanai. What's the tanai? That if I'm lechuyev to have the afikomen for Chatzos, so that the iser. Now, the halacha maintaining the tam b'fez also until chatzos. And if I'm allowed to have the afikomen after chatzos, so then I'll have another kazayis later on. That can be a second kazayis. So I have one kazayis before chatzos, and I have in mind that this might be my afikomen. Then I don't eat till chatzos, and then I can start eating again. And then I have another kazayis at the end of the meal. And according to the Shita, which is what most people are knowing, is to have the kazayas after chatzos, and then not have anything after that kazai. So that was not going to be a second kazai. So that would probably be a more important second kazai, so to speak, after the first two. That I would think. That's afikoymen, and that would be a kim having for chatzos.
That's even if one is in the middle of
Magid? Would it work in the middle of Magid? No. Before Magid, you have a kind of mitzvah.
Right.
No, you should make it. You should.
If you're in the middle of meal, chatzos is kind of.
I mean, if you're holding by Magid, chatzos.
Sure.
Yeah. It's such a madrig, you don't have to worry about. Especially this year, because it's very late.
Can you tell us a story you told kids and guys in the Memphis year about passing a torch in the Seis HaKodesh?
There's a group, I have to remember all the details, I heard it from Rav Tusky. There's a group in Israel called Arachim. Arachim is a Kiev organization. So they, before Pesach, they have seminars to teach people in Yom Pesach. So in one of their seminars, I think it was the Bnei Brak seminar, a woman showed up who was not from a religious background, and she needed to know how to make a Seder, and they asked her why she's showing up on her own, and she explained that her husband isn't into it, but she wants to have a Seder. So they gave her all the things she needed, and she went home and made the Seder, and she invited her husband was there, I think some kids were there, and they invited her father. So her father came to the Seder, and he sat there very, very quiet, didn't say a word. And then, when they got to the Rasha, so he all of a sudden piped up and he said, "Ani HaRasha." And they didn't know what he's talking about. So he told them that he was a European Jew, and that when he was a kid, he was born into a Hasidic family. And sometime, I think it was something before the war, so he became disenchanted with Torah mitzvahs, and he got involved in, I guess, socialism, and began to make fun of Torah mitzvahs. And then one Seder night, I think it was Seder night, so he in the middle of the Seder, he said, making cynical comments to the Seder, and then he left the table altogether, and the family's Eretz Tzivracha. And the father tried to calm the family down. He said that he was confident things would be okay. He tried to speak to his son was not receptive. And then, not long afterward, his son decided to get Eretz Yisrael. So, as he was, he wasn't at that point even from. So his father took him to the port, and the family, as he was saying, this family knew nothing about this. The first time he'd ever opened up about this. He took him to the port, and the father said to him, he says, that told him eventually, and his son said that why he was disenchanted with the Torah mitzvahs. His father said, "Look, I know that what I'm doing is emistic. We have from our Sinai, we have a chain of tradition. Every generation hands it on to the next generation." And he said that I know that your children are going to end up coming back. somewhere, I don't know exactly. I don't know if I'll live to see it. But I know eventually, because it will somewhere along the line. And so eventually it'll be okay, but I would want in my life to be able to hand the torch over to you. So the son is something talking about, it's not changed, it's not going to happen. Kachav, he left on for Eretz Yisrael, and he became part of the kibbutz there, and it was not a religious kibbutz, and he raised his kids not being from at all, and he said, when you invited me to come this evening, I know what you're talking about. What do you know about Pesach? What do you know? But I said I would come. And then he said, when I walked into the room, and he said, and I saw that it was all set up the way that I remember as a kid. So then he said, and I remembered, I think I remember the story correctly. He's saying, you see, my father was right. He says, and we in the kibbutz, every Pesach night we'd get together and we'd drink beer and chametz and we'd make fun of the Seder. And he said, but slowly over time, my friends at the kibbutz, this one got divorced and this one's child married out and this one's child went away and there's nothing left of our kibbutz. There's nothing left of the socialism. And there's nothing left of the Zionism. So I saw everything that I traded this in for, nothing left. And then I walked into this room, and I see that everything I ran away from is here. That's what he said. So then he kept quiet for the rest of the night. And they finished the Seder. And the next year, the daughter asked him to come, and he said, I'll come. But he won't leave the Seder. He wasn't comfortable. I think the year after that, that's when the daughter said to her father, they said, I want you to come to the Seder. And why don't you leave the Seder? Because I want to get the torch back from you. That was by now you printed up. That happened about 400 years ago. Just to see if Arachim has it printed up.
Should one drink the fifth cup?
L'chor itself, the first has the tshuka for it. L'chor itself, the Rambam said. Pashtus is that one should keep one should not change in Hagam. One shouldn't. The person has the person has a personal tshuka. It's in the right frame of mind, the right place. So then I don't know if one should change the whole, one has to say halal gadol on it. So if a person has in that frame of mind, say maybe it's sinna to say halal gadol after the Seder, you have to make a bor pigefen very often. I think that would be the only, if there's a sinna madriga. I think if David also didn't have a bicycle change, did he? In the piece, I don't think so. Somebody told me on Shabbos that the Rezina Rebbe had drank the fifth cup. Somebody told me that the Sochet Shavur and the Evshem Yishmol also did it. I don't know. I have to check that out. Was that? He said the Rezina Rebbe. Yeah. Definitely Rezina. Sardim, Have you ever seen the fifth cup you drank?
No.
Only with that same name, and apparently. Mitzvah Tashvisu. What is the Mitzvah Tashvisu? So Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, the Mitzvah Deraisa, to get rid of Chametz. When do you do the Mitzvah Tashvisu? So Lachayra, when Kim, the Iker Mitzvah Tashvisu is on Erev Pesach after the end of the fifth hour. Many of you showed them to say when you can mekayim the mitzvah tashvisu earlier, the famous Balamor, that you can mekayim the mitzvah tashvisu today. Pashta says that the mitzvah tashvisu doesn't mean to get rid of chametz, but to free your rishus of chametz. So to have a bagel today, l'chor is not tashvisu, because you have another bagel tomorrow. L'chor means erev Pesach, when you get rid of all your, when you made your property chametz free. So is the mitzvah tashvisu a mitzvah chiyuvis or mitzvah kiyumis? Is the mitzvah tashvisu a mitzvah to make sure that your property is free of chametz? Or is it a mitzvah to actively destroy chametz? So Rav Paiskim hold that it's a mitzvah to make your area free of chametz, and there are you mekayim the mitzvah with maybe even with mechiras chametz, certainly with beetle chametz. There are rishonim, primarily Rashi and Tosfos, who say there's a mitzvah of being mashmas the chametz. Some achrayim relate that back to the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. A mitzvah to do birachom, to burn the chametz v'sreifa. Some understand that this machlokes of whether it's a mitzvah chiyuv sekumis is a machlokes of chomer b'yud of whether when it burns chametz or when is mefarer chametz. So, a deference of the shita's Rashi and Tosfos, the Rama says we should be machmer for that shita to do sreifas chametz. Most achronim say that one doesn't have to go to ShopRite to get a bagel in order to do Shrevas Chometz. Let's go to Machayev oneself. Although some menachim do that as well. Most understand the remote to mean that I should leave over Kazayas Chometz to do Shrev on it. If I can, Erev Yom Tov. There's a machlekes rishonim whether the Iker Zman Shrevah. Even Rabbi Yehuda said it's v'sreifa, whether he meant after chatzos or before chatzos. So our minhag is, it's a machlokes both, and it's a machlokes, some rishonim said sreifa davka after chatzos, and some rishonim said sreifa davka before chatzos. Machlokes Rashi Ben Tam. So our practice is to do sreifa, if one has access to sreifa, one can do it, to do the sreifa sachameitz in the fifth hour leading up to Chatzos. And then before Chatzos to do another beetle. So our minig is to try to do whatever we can. Again, that's right, we can. Sometimes it's hard nowadays to do Sreifa, especially if people are running around there at Pesach. And sometimes it's not easy to have tending to a fire takes time. It doesn't. Some people often don't have the time, or people don't have the ability to do it in a safe way. So it's not so partial that you can do it. But if one's able to do it, if there is a communal bonfire, so that's like a Mekayim, the Chumra of the Ramah, to do. When we sell the chametz, so we have in mind that if a person is going to have rabbanim who sell the chametz, tell the goy that if there may be people who want to keep a kazayas out of the sale, because they don't want to burn the goy's chametz, right? That would be a maisa gezel. They want to burn their own chametz. so that it keep dafka kazayis out of the sail. So our practice is that to do, if we can, to do bir chametz. We can, so we're samech on those. We're not samech. Rabbi Yishayim say that there is no mitzvah davka of a doing a shreifa. And most interpret the shita that is mefar l'ruach means that there's no ma'ase beer. This is there's a din to make sure there's no chametz b'rishus Hashem in one of the rishus. So how do we get rid of the chametz? We get rid of the chametz possibly they beer. Possibly on yedei mechira. Well, what's the mechira? Is the way we do mechira nowadays is we sell the chametz to the guy, and then we do numerous kinyanim with the guy. One of the kinyanim that we do a kinyan mois, we do we call it kinyan situmta. Situmta is a minagamdina, right? So handshake is a minagamdina. Star is certainly minagamdina. Mois is minagamdina. Even if we hold the mois in kindness with a guy, nevertheless, but it's still minagamdina works. It's still situmta. And then we do a kinyan agav. We release a small piece of property, and we sell the chametz agav that property. But all the while, the chametz stays in arishus. Right, so we have a halacha that if you're in the same house as the chametz, you have to have a mechitza between the chametz. You can't have the chametz all over the place. You have the chametz in a certain place. It has to be all in one place. But wherever the chametz is, it has to be in a defined space and has to have a mechitza between the chametz. Halacha kedin mechitzas. So that's what the Achronim raised the question, is that a valid way of getting rid of one's chametz? Why, what would be the question? I did the chametz, I sold it, belongs to the gun. So it's good. It's kind of. However, the Gemara says that Chazal did not want us to do haramis. They didn't want us to do loopholes. So the classic loophole in Shas is that one's only chayiv to give trumas and maisras after one is kaveya, after one has collected one's produce in a normal fashion, when one brings all the stuff into one's storehouse. So then that's called kaveyas. When you bring into your storehouse, then you're chayiv to give trumas and maisras. What happens if a person doesn't bring it into his storehouse? He brings it into his own house, into his kitchen. Instead of normally you bring all you wheat into your storehouse. And then, as you need it, you bring it into your kitchen. Whenever a person says that he goes out and he takes 5 apples, brings it to his kitchen. He takes 5 tomatoes, that's all for abundance. He takes the wheat, he brings it into his kitchen, he grinds it down, and he makes a cake. That's not a normal way to bring, that's bringing both an aroi. That's bringing a very temporary fashion. So the Gemara says, and then you have to have two the Raisa. So what happens if a person would bring all of his, he harvest all of his wheat, and instead of bringing derech hagoyren, he would bring it to the pantry. So then he would mechayim. So the Gemara says, he would mechayim, and that's also mitam haroma, because he used an end run to get out of it in the Raisa of giving two and maestros. No, harama means when it's done. That is Yerushalmi. So, do we pass on the Yerushalmi is one question. And if we do pass on the Yerushalmi, do we? What does it mean? Does it mean that the harama we should not have done the harama, or does the mean harama that Chazal unraveled the harama? So there is a. So the Litvish Poskim followed a Tavula Shor. That said, I believe they said that one should not do haramis, but only nisir de rice, not nisir de rabbana. So that's a chumrah of the Litvish Shaposkim, which generated the approach that when one sells chametz, again, as far as Allah is concerned, we believe the chametz is sold, that it works. If it wouldn't work, that wouldn't be haramah. the original, there was a long-standing debate, not amongst Litvish poskim. The thing was more the Polish and the Galician poskim that debated whether we should do this kind of household mechiras chametz. It was the original mechiras chametz was for businessmen. The original mechiras chametz was for bakeries. There's a huge hefset involved. And the very original mechiras chametz, they actually moved the chametz to the guy's property. It didn't stay with the Jew's property. The original mechiras chametz is based on a tesefta that when a person has an animal and the animal is going to give birth to a bechor, and the halacha is that the bechor has to be let go. You can't do anything with the bechor, so that was a huge monetary loss. So they would actually take the ve'ema, they would sell it to the goy, it would go into the goy's rishos, and after the animal gave birth, the goy would come back to the Jew and say, Yana, would you want to have a mother-daughter team, and mother-son team, and the Jew would buy it back. And that was the understanding. So that also was a harama, but there it actually happened in the goy's rishos. So it was a long-standing debate whether we should adopt our present practice of making mechiras chametz a house-by-house opportunity to hold onto the chametz in one's own home. That was a chiddush. Rabbi Taubes' great-great-grandfather was the Yoger Rav. He was one of the rabbanim who was against doing our common practice. No, but it happened that it became common practice. And we're probably because of that, so we are able to save many, many people from an Iser of Bali Rav, Bali Yimotze. All right, that's a good thing. Saves people from Bali Rav, Bali Yimotze. Overall, the gadol, it's an interesting question whether it's good for Klal Yisrael, in terms of attitudinally, whether it was a good thing for Klal Yisrael. But that's what gave rise to the meat. So our common practice is to mechiras chametz for every household. It saves a lot of issues. There is the litvish chumra of not selling chametz gomer. In other words, anything that would be a bali rov, bali motze, on an Easter day raisa level, to try to get rid of that unless it's a hesed meruba. That's a very valuable chumra. It doesn't mean the person has to say, I'm going to always do it. It could be that in any given year where the difference between selling chametz gomer and selling tarboivis is half full cereal boxes, a sacha koi, talking about $5. You know, so for $5, that's a good chumra, right? You have some breadcrumbs, you have, the difference between having five freezer burned bagels or, that would be something. Why not get rid of that? Was that chametz gomer or breads and cakes and cereals?
Cereals that are whole grain? Or like cornflakes?
No.
Because most cereals now are like corn,
No, is that true?
A lot of them are.
Corn is kidneys. Corn is not. Kidneys is a problem.
The only corn is wheat.
If the corn has a wheat component to it.
The only cereals they make in the McDonald's
are going to be chametz gomer. Right. Make that dumb, but then it wouldn't be. Right. And then there's a big question about whiskeys, scotch. So there are many who say that scotch, most of things, I mentioned, I don't know most, many say that scotch is chametz gomer, and many say that chametz not, that it's not chametz, that it's more called zeib alma, that it's not just the fermentation of wheat, so therefore it's not. That's the machlek, is whether it's chametz gomer or not.
How do we hold
the most of it? And most people sell. So it's not a big deal. I mean, it's only a question of case of a chumra. Again, if a person has different gradations. A person can say, I sell everything, that's normal. My father sold everything, I sell everything, that's normal. A person can be more, can be machmer, I will sell everything, melech chametz gomer this year. A person can say, I'll sell chametz gomer, but I will sell, I will not sell chametz gomer, but I will sell scotch. So they're all different options. And each one is consistent. And then, in addition, so then we do Bitul Chametz. What's Bitul Chametz? So the Gemara says that the opening of, the Gemara has it in the beginning of Pesachim, that in addition to doing Bedika, one should also do Bitul. In addition to doing Bitul, one should do Bedika. Now, this Bedika is preparing for the mitzvah Shpasas Chametz, getting rid of the Chametz. You have to look where it is in order to get rid of it. So, Bedika is to search out for the chametz. The Gemara says, but one should do bitul as well. Why should you do bitul as well? Because you might miss some chametz, or because shem yimtzeg lusko yofe, you might find chametz on Pesach, and it might be a valuable piece of chametz. So, in addition to doing bedika, one should do beetle. Why would we only do beetle? Because the beetle is the davar shevaleh, so we're afraid that maybe a person won't have enough kavanah for beetle. What is the beetle? So, it's a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim learned that beetle is hefker. I'm mafker all of my chometz. So, the Ramban says, how could it be hefker? Hefker has to be done b'fnei sholesh. If you're mafkir something in your own rishos, it's not an effective hefker. No one knows they can come and get it. So Ramban says that it couldn't be hefker. So again, that's a machlokes rishonim. The rishonim would say that it could be hefker, so they defend that there are certain situations where one does require hefker b'fnei sholish, and certain hefkerim don't require. So the Ramban says it's not a din of hefker, but it's a unique din of beetle. Because he's saying it's kafir da'ara. So what does that mean that it's kafir da'ara? How can you... It's not kafir da'ara. It's a piece of cake. You bought it a few days ago. You paid a lot of money for it. Now it's time for... You have to get rid of it. So how can this kafidara? So Ramban is a chiddush that the Torah says that when Chatzos comes erev Pesach, so the chometz is worthless. Right? You can't do anything with the chometz. It's also b'hanah. I can't benefit from it, and I also can't sell it. So the Torah really took away any sense of violence that I have from this chametz. So if that's the case, how can it be over by Rabbi Matze? How can the Torah say it's not yours, you can't sell it, right, and you can't own it? It's a stira. Now the Achronim would say not such a stira, because even though I can't sell it, but there could be a situation, Shai Gassari says, there could be a situation of Pikuach Nefesh. So I'd be able to sell it. I could sell it in that case. But the Ramban says that for Pashtus, how could it be that on one end the Torah says it's also for you to have it, and at the same time say that you're held responsible for having it? If the Kodesh Baruch said I can't have it, then my bialus is insignificant. So Ramban says that's pshat when the Gemara says, like by Bor, that there are two things that the Kodesh Baruch Hu took out of our rishus and put back in our rishus in order to be chayyeh for them. So when it comes to Bor, it means a person digs a Bor b'shus rabim according to Reb Tanoim. So when's chayyeh, even the Kodesh Baruch Hu, I have no rishus over this Bor, it's b'shus rabim. Baruch Hu said, for the purpose of being achroi, for the purpose of shmira, skilus nirushos. So Ramban says the same when it comes to chometz. Because Baruch Hu said that you can't own chametz. If I can't own chametz, then it is, it's, I have no title to it. It's not really mine. Because Baruch Hu said, but in order to be oyver bal yer olim motzei, in other words, just like legabe bor, I have to do a shmirah. So legabe chametz, I have to do a mitzvah shbasa. The lashon of the Ramban is, so if I say that it should be ka'af for the ara, so then different ways of learning from the Ramban. The way he says it is then it does not come back into my rishos. Because Baruch Hu puts it back into my rishos in order to be chayiv, that's if I don't reject it. But if I reject it, and I say it's insignificant and I don't want it, so then Kadosh Baruch Hu does not put it back in my rishos. So when we say the bitul chametz called chamir v'chamidi kibushusi lehevei hefker ka'afra da'ara, so we're covering for both positions. Lehevei hefker, according to Yerushalayim, say it's hefker. I have no interest in it, and I reject any violence of it. Vilhevi ka'afra da'ara is, and according to Ramban, that this is not an exercise of hefker. If we hefker, it have to be in the public and give you access to it. If we hefker, I can't have it sitting in my basement and be ma'afker. So I'm saying ka'afra da'ara means that it's of no value to me. And this is, Chazal explained, the way that I can neutralize the HaKadosh Baruch Hu putting it back into my rishus. That's why all of these ways of getting rid of chametz have to be done before the Isur Ba'yiro B'motz is in place. Right? Isur Ba'yiro B'motz Mene Raisa comes in by Chatzos. So during the fifth hour, our practice is to do it by the fifth hour. It's also Machlokes to do it. That's when we do the Biur. The Yisr Achil is we go into the fourth hour in Midr Rabbanim. And the Yisr Anoz is we go into the fifth hour in Midr Rabbanim. So after the Yisr Anoz said we can't, at that point we can't sell anymore. So we have to sell before the fifth hour. So Mitzvah Shbisu is, again, it's a Machlok, it's whether the fifth hour Chazal don't want us to own it already. So that's why we try to do the Biur also as we go into the fifth hour. And that's where we do the bitul also around the fifth, either just before the fifth hour, going into the fifth hour. So that's how we are l'chayra. All of these methods are kiyum in Hashpasas Chametz. So we do the l'chayra, the bedikas for sure, and then a kiyum Hashpasas Chametz. We say the bracha al bir chametz, and then the kol chamim v'chamiya is a kiyum in Hashpasas Chametz, and then we do the mechira, and then if we're able we do a beer, a mice of beer. Yeah.
If you miss something in the Padika and then you do the Bittul and you find something afterwards, is that considered Chametz Shavar Pesach, or is that included in the Mechira?
So the way if you find Chametz after Pesach, right? So the Shulchan Aruch says that even if it was Mevatel Chametz, so if we find Chametz after Pesach, we are still machmer in that. And we hold, it's Chametz over La Pesach, I think. They certainly wouldn't be allowed to eat it. Chazal made that din in order that we shouldn't do harama of trying to keep a chametz vaya bitul. However, the way that most rabbanim do bedikas do mechiras chametz now is that chametz, that any chametz that's left in arushos would be included in the mechira. So that would cover us. So by the time it would not be subject to Chomesh Avodah Pesach. Right? That's also an interesting din. A person finds chametz on Pesach. What's the din?
Cover it.
So you find a yom tov to cover it. So, and then chol hamoed, you burn it. Right? If you find chametz on Pesach, you have to get rid of it. So if it's yom tov, you can't get rid of it. So you wait till Pesach. You wait till chol hamoed. So chametz you cover it. On Pesach you cover it. And chol hamoed you get rid of it. So that might not be the correct anymore nowadays. Because if you find chametz on Pesach, it belongs to the guy. So any chametz you have in your house, you sold to the guy. So I don't think you should burn it nowadays. Nowadays you would cover it and then, or take it and put it into the guy's, wherever you have the guy has his chametz, you put it together with that chametz.
What if, I know there was once I was in Neri Yisrael for, my cousin's living in Neri Yisrael, so I think in Baltimore, with the newspaper, they delivered cereal one year.
So what
would one do in that situation?
So that's not sold to the guy, right? So then in that situation, you are not mekabel bailus on it. In other words, you have in mind that they cannot force ownership over you. So as long as you find that before you bring it to your house. If one brought it into one's house, so then probably one has to then get rid of it, just to burn it. But if one has in mind that any free sample which you get, anything which gets delivered, you're not accepting into your Bibles. So no, you cannot be forced in the Kabbalah of Bibles. Either some guy was very, very clueless in the marketing division of the company. He was very, very knew exactly what he was doing. I know it's one another very densely Jewish neighbor and got also these boxes of cereal. Yesh Jor Shashach, Yesh Jor Shalim Gnai. It's in Shulchan Aruch. If any Yehudi may be Yisrael Darin Chomis B'Yoyim Achon Shul Pesach, lo yikav leno. But gam lo yinikim yitech masif shechovitz boi. Goy brings me Chomis. So I should make sure, I don't accept it. I should make sure that it's clear that I don't want it. V'toyv sheyoyim Achon Yerotz Shiyach Nalei Roshisa. Good. So the next, go ahead.
In regards to being matmir for chatzos, that specifically then in the chorma the ramah of dal kosos and tafayin zayin.
Oh, that chatzos. You go ahead. Yeah.
Both chatzos. I'm asking, chatzos for the afikoma and chatzos for arukosos.
Yeah.
Are either special to be matmir for? Or?
If you follow the svarim, so it's good to matmir for chatzos. But practically speaking, I think it's very, very difficult to be Mafram Chatzos.
The Ramos.
The Ramos Chatzos? What do you mean the Ramos Chatzos?
Meaning for Arukosos. The Shulchan Aruch says that.
But yeah, you just follow the Svarim, so then it means you want to finish everything by Chatzos. But it's very, very hard. I don't know if it's practical. I don't know if people. How would we do it if, unless one doesn't. As one would rush through the Seder. I mean, practically speaking, when are you going to get home from Shul? Shul is, Seis is what? 8, what was Seis yesterday? 8:20 was it, right? Around there. So you can only begin the first coast by 8:20. approximately February 25 next week. Right? Chicago is even later, probably. Right. West Coast, 3 hours earlier, so okay. So, so it depends where on the time zone.
8:45.
Where, in Seattle?
Yeah, already this week.
8:45 is 6. Really?
Wow. Summer, Chicago gets to like 9:15.
So if you're 8, so let's stick with the East Coast. Right, so, so at 8:45 should be chatzos will also be later.
Yeah.
So you it's 8:25. So you don't want to begin the seder before, you don't have kiddush before 8:25 because that's the first coast. You only have to say it's for the first coast. Right? That's the halach of 2:2. We compare the din of be'erev techel matzis to be'erev to the mitzvah. No, be'erev techel matzis. Sorry. So we said that not only matzah should be after tzeis, but all of the mitzvahs halal should be after tzeis. So the kois, the first kos should be after tzeis. So that means before tzeis you can sing kadesh urchas. If you have the return kadesh urchas, you can say it before tzeis, right? But you want to wait for kiddush till tzeis. So that's the earliest 8:20. Early, it's probably a little bit later. When's Chatzos? Around 1:30 or so. No? When's Chatzos? So Baruch Hashem, we have a large family. It's hard to have everybody participate. And have the student get everything done before Chatzos, I think. And certainly, rushing through the end also. I don't know if a person, if one can pace oneself to do it, it's a good thing to do. But something is practical. As it is, what usually happens is people spend a lot of time till they get to Rabbi Avidovi, and then they rush to Rabbi Avidovi, which is not just counterintuitive. Right? I guess in the abstract, it sounds like you have enough time. It sounds like it's 4 hours. I think practically, I don't know. It's a good thing to do. Whatever you can get done before Chatzos is good. But I don't think it pays to rush and have a less of a meaningful Seder. I don't think so. What's the matter? Do most people finish the Seder by 1 o'clock? Okay, so then I guess it's doable. Good, so let's, so today is Sunday, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, let's try to begin some chazar on the sugyas, and then we'll spend more time, a little bit of time every day discussing some of the inyanei Pesach. All right?